Alrighty, welcome to the Iron Jazz 777 podcast. Just gonna be a regular week this week. Yeah, gonna be covering Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and then do the big news in comics. So, get right into it. Okay, gonna start things off with the wrestling portion, as I usually do. So, this week on Raw, I enjoyed it. I thought there were some good matches. I thought some of the storylines were good. Overall, I thought it was definitely one of the better Raws in recent memory. So, start things off with Stephanie McMahon and Triple H coming in a limo because Stephanie's birthday. Then she announced the main event for the night, The Shield versus Corbin and two other partners. Of course, I'll be covering that later on. And then, of course, Triple H was asked about his match with The Undertaker, Super Showdown, which will be giving my predictions for next episode. So, anyway, so then, then the promo in the ring with The Shield came out. They came out. I'm so sorry. I just butchered that. The Shield came out, saying we're the workhorses in WWE. Then Rollins and Reigns both held up other titles, saying that these are the keys to the kingdom. And at that moment, I think everybody just felt so bad for Dean, out there without a title. He's just like, yeah, they have the titles, and I'm really happy for them, but, where's my title? I want a title too, guys. we could make the tag titles work. you just gotta feel bad for Dean, because he's the one guy without a title, and then you have Reigns, telling Seth, we have the keys to the kingdom. Then you have just Ambrose in the back, yay, bravo, where's my title? And then the Dogs of War came out. They kind of acted on this a little bit. And this is the storyline that I was saying that I really enjoyed. I'm fine with them doing it this way. I would have preferred, Ambrose just to do it instead of, you have Ziggler, you have McIntyre, you have not so much Braun, but I think he still contributed a little bit to it. You have those guys trying to get Dean to turn instead of, Dean just turning to turn, turn heel. But you know what? I'm interested to see where they're going to go with it. Did play in throughout the rest of the night. I thought what they're doing, pretty good. And I'm curious. I don't think it's their best storyline right now. That's obviously AJ and Joe. But I think it's making things interesting, on Raw. So, the first match of the night was the 6-woman tag match. It was the Bellas and Natalya versus the Riot Squad. Very early on in the match, Brie Bella just, I think what happened, from what I can gather, I'm not sure if this has been confirmed or denied or not, confirmed, denied, or whatever, not sure exactly what, but what I think happened was, Liv Morgan thought Brie Bella was done, so she was kind of leaning down, So Brie would probably go for a pin, something like that. Riot Squad would break it up, or Liv Morgan would kick out. Because it was the start of the match, pretty much. But Brie wasn't done. She kicked Liv Morgan right in the head, and it looked like Liv Morgan suffered a pretty bad concussion, or is still suffering a bad concussion. Throughout that whole match afterwards, she had to be helped, like, just moving around. She was groggy. I mean, credit to her, though. She did take a few other bumps, but, I mean, you just gotta feel bad for her. I mean, I'm not saying Brie did it on purpose or anything like that. I know I've bashed the Bella Twins quite a bit for being 1B wrestlers, and I still think that they are. But, I mean, I think this was out of their hands. You know, it's just a very bad mistake that happened. Obviously, yeah, I hope Liv Morgan recovers soon, because, I mean, any wrestler getting injured is really good news. Anyway, so moving on. Just going through the bits I remember, pretty much. So, then throughout the night, there are segments of, like, Ziggler talking to Ambrose. Yeah, he mentioned on SmackDown how he was the champ, and now he went over to Raw, rejoined with the Shield, and he's just, like, just kind of there, you know? Ziggler is just like, you know, remember, you were WWE champion, you were, you know, top of the food chain on SmackDown, and then what happened? You came over to Raw, joined with your little Shield friends, you know, that sort of thing. Then Rollins went over to McIntyre to do some of the same thing, but then McIntyre used it against, like, used it to add a little bit more fuel to the flame, saying, you know, came to Ambrose saying, you know, Rollins is looking to replace you with me, you know, that sort of thing. And it worked. I can see, like, some people not liking this, or the segment. I can see that, but I think, for the most part, it works. Storyline that they're doing, I think it works for the situation that they're in right now, you know, just to kind of, like, seems like they're going to be pushing this feud for a little while, so, you know, you want to try to make things interesting, and if this is how they're going to make, you know, the story more interesting, then yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah, keep things relevant, mainly, so this is their way of doing it, you know. Okay. See where it goes. Then, let's see, there is Bobby Lashley versus Elias. I didn't really hate this match. Didn't like the ending of the match, but, like, up until the ending, I thought it was pretty enjoyable. I don't think it was great. Definitely was a match of the night. But, yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought it had its moments, like Elias, you know, jumping up with that knee. Yeah, again, it had its moments, so it was good up until, or not good, it was okay up until the ending, where Owens, I think he big booted Lashley, something like that, and then the DQ, and some more, stuff with Lio Rush happened, so, like, more of Owens and Elias trying to beat up Lio Rush, so. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't awful, but I think they can improve on it. So, on to the match of the night. Obviously, the Raw Tag Titles match. I didn't think it was going to be this good, and I don't think many people did think it was going to be that good, but man, it was absolutely great. You know, I did like how Revival were doing a little bit of a throwback, you know, Scott Dawson. You know, he was like doing the jabs to, I think, McIntyre. You know, kind of like how Dusty used to do it, you know. And, you know, it was that, the Doomsday Device, you know, like stuff like that. You know, I liked how they were kind of like paying tribute to, you know, the older generation of wrestlers. And, man, Revival, I didn't think that they would be that good in the face role. But they are, you know. I think they can get a pretty good crowd reaction, you know. And the in-ring work, it was great, you know. Those two teams just have some pretty good chemistry together, and I hope they have another match. I really do. So. Sorry, I just had to get a quick drink there. So, anyway. Then there's the main event. There's some more segments in that in between. Nia Jax and a squash match against Alicia Fox, you know. I'm glad it was a squash match. But, I mean, it's just kind of like one of those, just kind of like, let's get this moving sort of thing. Squash match was the right decision because Nia Jax is the powerhouse of the women's division, and obviously you want to make the powerhouse look strong, so squash match. So anyway, so now on to the main event. The 6-man tag match, The Shield versus Baron Corbin and the Authors of Pain. This was a pretty good match. It was, I would say, above average good area, match quality wise. You know, Baron Corbin and the Authors of Pain, they make a pretty good stable, pretty good team. Then, of course, The Shield, they're famous for 6-man tag matches, so they're obviously going to make this one good. Then you have the Dogs of War out there, you know, the whole Ambrose angle, and yeah, it all worked together nicely. And again, curious to see where it goes. Then obviously The Shield won. And then Ambrose, he did a dive, I think, to the outside. So did Rollins. So Reigns could get the pin without anybody trying to break up the pinfall. And then Rollins, he got back in the ring. Then Ambrose, he kind of went out into the middle. It's like kind of going back and forth between Dogs of War and The Shield. Then eventually, you know, went back in the ring with The Shield. They did the fist thing, you know. They're probably going to save the heel turn for Super Showdown. Most likely. What I think, anyways. I don't know, I might be wrong. We'll find out. Okay, on to SmackDown. Things started off with Truth TV. Just why? Like, okay, you want to give R-Truth his own show? Fine. But the dance breaks were pointless, and for R-Truth to have set up like Miz TV, it was just another excuse. Or it was just an excuse to have Miz and R-Truth have a match. You know, for one of the dumber stipulations in recent memory. The winner gets control of Miz TV. So, and obviously the Miz won. It wasn't a bad match, you know, between the two. I mean, Truth TV is pretty much just to set up the match between Miz and R-Truth and further the rivalry between Miz and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan came out as a special guest, and he was on commentary, I'm pretty sure. I do like how Miz beat R-Truth with the running knee. I thought that was a nice touch. Like a nice little jab at Daniel Bryan. You know, like Miz using his move. Like another one of his moves. You know. Yeah, it was a nice ending to the match, I thought. And furthers the feud between the two. So, a little bit. And let's see. Then there was, I'm just kind of going off of the parts I remember. Asuka and Naomi going up against Absolution. You know, seems like it's trying to build Asuka and Naomi as like a sort of like Bayley and Sasha Banks sort of deal. So, I mean, okay. It isn't awful, but it isn't great right now. Could use some improvement. And, this is sort of like a build-up match for those two. Obviously, Naomi and Asuka won. I think I already said that, though. Then, I think the Iconics came out. Iconics. I'm pretty sure they were on guest commentary. Because they're in a feud with Naomi and Asuka. Because they're going to have a match at Super Showdown. So, going to have a feud behind it. Anyway. That's about it. Ty Dillinger, Shinsuke Nakamura, one-on-one. I think it was a non-title match. But I'm not sure. Either way, it ended in a DQ. I thought the match wasn't bad. I wish that they would put Ty Dillinger on a little bit more, because he isn't too bad in the ring. And, it's Nakamura. That was, I thought it was enjoyable. I did. I thought, it's kind of like, it was better than Lashley and Elias, so. I didn't think it was, like, too great of a match, but I did think it was enjoyable. And I did enjoy it. Dillinger with the 10 thing, and, he just had Nakamura just being crazy. the different types of wrestling styles, you know, kind of work together. Make, decent match. Then Orton came out, attacked Dillinger. I liked the way he started doing it, like, when he attacked him, but then he just sort of, like, scrapped it. I wish he would've. What he started to do, like, after one move, he did one, did another move, two, three, eventually he would've done 10. I wish he actually would've done the 10, because that would've been icing on the cake, with that. Of course, he got interviewed afterwards saying, like, do you hate Ty Dillinger? Just the whole 10 thing pisses me off, you know? Then he left. Nakamura, he got in one last shot. Man, this did not look good. With wrestling, like, with a hard-hitting move or something like that. Like, when they land wrong or pretty impactful landing. It isn't always so much the impact, but the bounce afterwards. And this is kind of the case what happened after Orton beat up Dillinger. Nakamura got his shot in. He did Kinshasa to Dillinger right onto the lighting on the apron. And Dillinger, his head like bounced off. And oh, it didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. As far as I know, he didn't get seriously hurt. So, that's on the bright side, I guess. So, yeah, then, oh, can't forget about this. Rusev, you know, Maz can be Lana, along with them, came out to address it in English, saying, you know, why did you attack me, that sort of thing. And then, in English said, it was all because of Lana, you know, she's driving a wedge between us. And, you know, then he goes, you know, she's very honest, for the most part. And then he said about, Lana never told Rusev about a night in Milwaukee. Just, again, icing on the cake, and he didn't even say what happened. And Lana, she's just trying to convince Rusev, like, nothing happened in Milwaukee. I'm pretty sure Ciampa's from Milwaukee. But anyway, Rusev, he's just like, wonder what he's talking about. And then he's just like asking around. Like, not really asking around, but like everybody's just sort of like bringing up, like, Becky Lynch. You know, she came out. Not really came out, but backstage she came up to him. And she goes, Milwaukee, huh? Fun place. Goes out and ends up having a match with Lana, of course. Non-title match. Which wasn't bad. Made the champ look good. So. Then there was. Oh, I know. That was last week's SmackDown, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was. Because that was the last segment. Where. And I'm not going to go into it. Anyway, so, yeah, Becky Lynch had no title match. She obviously won. Let's see. Oh, then Big E versus Sheamus wasn't too bad. Honestly, out of the two pairs of matches that they've had, I prefer Cesaro versus Kofi Kingston. I thought that was a little bit of a better match. But it was a little bit more of a technical match, whereas this was more of, like, two powerhouses fighting, you know, just sort of, like, fighting it out. And, yeah, it worked. Sheamus got the win. Yeah, I just hope the Bar win at Super Showdown. I don't think they will, but I originally thought they would, but then this happened. So, I don't know. They might win. They might. There's a chance. But they probably won't. So, anyway. Then, to the contract signing between AJ and Samoa Joe. Joe took it to the next level. To say in the least. Samoa Joe went to AJ's house. Really made AJ mad. He even got like a toy doll for AJ's daughter. Which bit creepy. But you know, it worked. You know, it worked. And, oh man, there's something else I was going to say. Yes, on to SmackDown? Or not SmackDown, my bad. On to, NXT, I guess. On NXT, things started off, pretty sure. Oh man, I can't remember what they started off with. And then Lars Sullivan had a match, which he won, pretty sure. Yeah, pretty much a squash match. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think he should have squash matches, because, you know, they really are building him up like a, like Braun Strowman, so, you know, fine with it. Then let's see, there was Vanessa Bourne versus Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane obviously won. It was a non-title match, but still, I mean, you're not gonna have the champ lose. Can't have the champ lose, so, you know, wasn't a bad match. Again, it was enjoyable. The Street Profits versus the Mighty. The Mighty surprisingly got a win. I guess I'm sure it'll set up another match, or they'll do another match, which I'm sure Street Profits will win, but yeah, I'm fine with Mighty winning. Fairly good match. I remember what started off NXT. William Regal came out to the ring. He was about to say about Ciampa. Then the Undisputed Era came out. Then Regal made some title matches. Adam Cole would get his rematch in a triple threat match with Ricochet defending the title against Pete Dunne and Adam Cole. I cannot wait for this match. I know, it's kind of good. And then Undisputed Era are going to be defending the tag titles against the War Raiders. So, I think the War Raiders might win that one. But I'm not sure about the North American title. Adam Cole could win it back, or Ricochet could hang on to it. I don't think Pete Dunne's going to win. I think he's there to take the pinfall. Pete Dunne is a fairly good wrestler. He's definitely one of my favorite British wrestlers right now. I think he is just there to take the pin. And I'll set up a War Games sort of match. Or War Games-ish. Like a match that take over War Games is what I'm trying to say. And then it was Keith Lee. Kind of like interrupting Kona Reeves, like promo shoot sort of thing. Keith Lee, you know, he was saying, you know, he wants to shot the NXT title, which I'm sure is going to happen. Keith Lee, he's a great wrestler. He connects with the crowd. He has a lot of charisma. He's just great overall. The whole Limitless thing, kind of works. I think the catchphrase is like, bask in my glory. How he gets the crowd to sing along. Oh, Baskin is cool. Yeah, that's great. I mean, he connects with the crowd greatly, great way. So, well, I'm seeing him as an NXT champ. But anyway, so he goes to Ken Reeves, like, interview, promo shoot, whatever. And says, "Oh, I've heard about you. You're the finest in NXT." you know, but you've lost a lot. And then, of course, Kona Reeves got mad because, you know, it's Kona Reeves. So, they're probably going to have a match pretty soon. So, yeah, Keith Lee's probably got one. Just saying. So, anyway, then the main event was Tommaso Ciampa in non-title match against Otis Dosevich, I'm pretty sure that you pronounce his last name. One half of Heavy Machinery, the good half, I will say. That was a great match. Definitely a match of the night. It worked, you know. Ciampa, he played the small, sneaky heel really well this match, up against the powerhouse and Otis Dosevich. And like I said, it worked. Dosevich, you know, really went after Ciampa with like some powerhouse moves, you know, like bunch of slams and all that stuff. I think he went for like a Vader bomb sort of thing. Then Ciampa rolled out of the ring and tried to leave. You know, he'd take the count out. Then Tucker Knight came out. You know, tried to get Ciampa back in the ring. Then it's like trapped in between Heavy Machinery. And then Ciampa did like an apron DDT to Osisovich once Otis got back in the ring, like to the outside. And then it was sort of like Otis went through the ropes, then Ciampa did the DDT onto like the top of the apron. Then he got back in, the ring and hit like the regular hanging DDT. Got the win. You know, I probably didn't explain the ending sequence the best as I could have, but, you know, but yeah, it's a good match. I agree with the ending, you know. Amados looks strong taking two finishers instead of just the one, so, yeah. And that's pretty much all of wrestling that I've seen and was planning on covering. So, on to the comics section. Okay, so on to the comics section. You guys know how that works. You know, look up Marvel, DC. Give you guys top headlines, stuff like that. And then I'll do a trivia at the end. So, Daredevil Season 3 is going to be coming out October 19th, I'm pretty sure. Trailers that have been coming out. Kingpin is coming back. Looks good. So, Netflix debuts a new interface for the Marvel shows. So pretty much what they're going to be doing, instead of, from what I can tell from the article, is instead of like those long designs, like long, I guess they're animations. I mean, they kind of seem like animations, but I'm not entirely sure. It might be just very good editing. But instead of that, they're going to have the camera walk up, like the black background, just walk up to the camera, and then they'll show the logo for the show, sort of thing. So, So, pretty much, Terrence Howard, he originally played, Rhodey in Iron Man, the first one. He's talking about coming back to Marvel. I'm not sure, what role, if he would to play Rhodey / War Machine or what, but apparently he's interested in coming back, so. Okay, so, let's see here. Bring an article right now. Apparently, this is a spoiler alert. In Heroes in Crisis number 1, has come out for DC. At least 6 heroes were killed. Not sure who, but basically, this article is about how DC might be becoming too dark, and with some of the stuff that they've been putting out. So there isn't really too much about DC. There's another one about Darkseid revealing somebody is a secret old god. Let's see here. It's revealed in Justice League Odyssey number 1, so careful, spoiler alert. Not really seeing anything. So, it's just kind of like, I guess, read the comic book to find out. I was trying to look for a clue or something to see, but I can't find anything. So, like, it goes into it very deeply. So, it's just kind of like looking for a quick, like, first paragraph or two, like, oh, so-and-so, then they would go into the detail, but that didn't happen. Okay, so we got trivia for DC this time. Okay, got one about Doomsday. So, give you guys 30 seconds about. So, the question is, So, how many Green Lanterns has Doomsday killed? So, repeat again. How many Green Lanterns has Doomsday killed? And I'll give you guys 30 seconds. And 3, 2, 1. Time starts now. Okay, 30 seconds is up. So the question was, how many Green Lanterns did Doomsday kill? As of now, I'm pretty sure. Not sure when this came out, but it says over. So Doomsday is responsible for the death of over 1 million Green Lanterns. So, there's the fun facts. Hope you got it right. If not, I can try again next episode. So, guess I'll be wrapping things up. Okay, guys, hope you enjoyed this episode of the Iron Jedi 777 podcast. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel for more content. And of course, I have a Twitter account at Iron Jedi 777, where you can receive updates on the channel, stuff like that. Usually I'll, that's where I'll announce, like, okay, for example, I have it set up for a new podcast episode will be announced. Then if I'm going to be starting something new, or, like, I announced about my MKX tournament miniseries I was going to be doing. Another episode should be coming out pretty soon. So, yeah, stuff like that. So, if you're curious or you know, want to see the updates, and announce some of my videos as well. But if you want to see stuff like that, follow me on Twitter. So, I guess I'll see you guys next episode.